Blog Talk Radio.
Muy buenas noches, mi gente, otra vez con ustedes aquí en Blog Talk Radio. Estamos trayéndole a ustedes un show fenomenal cada semana, y esta semana, como siempre, va a ser muy buena, muy importante. Hoy tenemos a Jonathan McAntoni con nosotros, que nos va a traer un segmento nuevo que se llama Boricua of the Month Book. So don't go away. We have Jonathan McAntoni with us. He sounds Italian, but he's Boricua. Trust me, I know. And he will be with us all through the show, but in about 50 minutes, he will bring you that book that we want you to pay attention, listen to what he's got to say, because these are important books that he will be talking about. This will happen once a month, and that's always the first Friday of the month. So stick around, keep your eyes open. What I need you to do is go to our show and follow our show. You can go to the Blog Talk Radio page and just follow us. What will happen is that they will send you emails telling you when the show is going to go on or what the next show will be. We also have Boricuas of the World talk show page, and we'd like you to just go there and give us a like. We also have not only the shows in the past, but also as soon as we finish the show, we'll put it there on that page so you can listen to it if you weren't able to listen to it at that moment live. So you can listen to a whole bunch of shows. We have them on that page. And we also have our main page, which is the Facebook group called Boricuas of the World Social Club. Now, this is a private page, secret page, so you can't find it. The only way to find it is by actually going to your Facebook page, and on the left-hand side on the top of the box, write the name Boricuas of the World Social Club, and it will appear, and then you can join. If you have a friend who's a member, they can also add you. If you are a member, we need to grow. So we want you to add your friends, good people, the nice people, the nice Boricuas, because this is, of course, for Boricuas. We love everyone, but this is just so that we can celebrate ourselves, our culture, and our people. So if you got these good Boricuas that you know that should be part of this group, tell them that you're going to add them to our show. Okay? So please, please, please do that. We are going to have a little bit of a chat before we go on with the book, but we are going to have Jonathan all through the show. So let's just say hello to Jonathan. ¿Cómo estás, Jonathan? How's it going, brother?
Oh, it's totally, yeah, it's getting cold over here in Colorado, so I could be doing better if it was warmer.
But, yeah, well, Rocky Mountains bring you surprises from time to time.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, it was actually 74 degrees here in New York today, so I don't remember the last time that we had that kind of temperature in New York City, but although I welcome it, I also believe that this may be the planet warming, and it worries me a little bit. But then again, that's another show. That's another day.
Yeah, it's just things like that make me happy. I'm 6,000 feet above sea level. So, you know, when the waters start rising, you're more than welcome to come out here with me.
Listen, get that basement ready, because I will be going out there. We don't have too many people. All right. I just have my wife, my children, my grandchild, my aunts, uncles, dad, sisters, brothers, their children. Not too many people.
No, we're Puerto Ricans. We'll make it work.
Jonathan, Kings of Seventh Avenue. Tell me about the book. What's going on with the book?
Well, a lot of things are going on. Kings of Seventh Avenue is going to be presented at the University of Tampa. I'm going to be talking to the MFA program there on January 11th. And I'll also be at the book bar in Denver presenting the book along with my wonderful protege, Naomi Thompson. We'll be presenting the book at the book bar on December 12th. And I will also be presenting several Latino authors' books at the Latino Community Luncheon here in Colorado Springs on December 9th. So a lot, a lot of things going on with King's 7th Avenue.
Excellent. And I know that you're trying to figure out a move to so that you can come visit New York. So we look
yes.
forward to you getting here. And if you need any assistance from any of us, you know that we're always here to assist. So, Jonathan, tell me about the sales.
Mm-hmm.
How are the sales going?
Sales are going great. Actually, so far Kings has been my fastest selling book. I keep getting emails from people every week telling me how much they're enjoying the book. Also, you know, just it's been featured in a few libraries and a few colleges. It's actually being taught at University of California in Long Beach. Victor Rodriguez, a great Boricua professor, he's out there and he's teaching the book. And also, not King 7th Avenue, my other book, Feast of Saint Sebastian, that gets taught regularly by Chris Campagnoni there in New York City. So I was going to give a shout out to him.
Excellent. Excellent. Tell us about JonathanMarcantoni.com. I believe that's the name.
Yeah, that's my, yes, JonathanMarcantoni.com, where actually tonight you can check out the Boricua Book Club selection on my website. It is my personal author page. It features my articles, also features my rates for editing services. I am a freelance editor. And also provides links to all of my books.
Excellent. So make sure that you remember the name and go take a visit. You know, you'll also learn about Jonathan's other books, because Jonathan is not a one-book wonder. He's actually got three under his belt, right? Three books?
That's correct.
Yeah, there's plans for a fourth, so that's coming soon. I certainly hope that I get a copy before it's sold out there, because si no va a haber problema. Yo, tú sabes, nosotros los boricuas somos peliones. At any rate. So there's a few things that have been happening for, I don't know if you're familiar with Somos el Futuro.
Yes.
Okay. So they usually have conferences twice a year, and they're now in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. And for those of you who are not familiar with Somos, it's a nonpartisan nonprofit, and it's an organization that is committed to addressing the needs of the Hispanic population in New York. So they address a number of, you know, different issues, labor issues, business issues. They talk about legislation that they can use to help the Latino community in New York. There's a bunch of our elected officials out there at this moment. It's between the 4th and the 8th. I don't know if some people are there for a couple of days and come back. I don't know if they're there for the duration, but I do know that I have seen some postings on Facebook, some of the elected officials that are there, including Cuomo, the governor of New York, and the mayor of New York, de Blasio, two guys that are really friendly to each other nowadays. And I say that with sarcasm. At any rate.
Well, they both think that Puerto Rican vote, so I guess.
Yeah. Well, as long as they're going around Puerto Ricans, you know, we can control things. So we keep them under control,
yes, sure.
So they won't, you know. But it would be nice to see them go out on the street and throw a few punches. You know, it would be nice for them to settle it on their own without having to involve the people of New York State or New York City. So, agárrense a puño allá y vamos a arreglar esto. But the good thing, Jonathan, is that, you know, there's we have that issue with the $72 billion debt in Puerto Rico. And so Puerto Ricans are actually marching, and they held a march where thousands and thousands of people showed up for better health care in Puerto Rico. It seems as if, the payments are less for Puerto Rico than there are for the states. And I really don't understand much about that. I really need to, learn myself some stuff about this. But I think this is quite unfair. I mean, what do you think? What's your opinion on this?
Well, Well, first, you know, because you mentioned a few things. First of all, it's great that Puerto Ricans are taking some action to get noticed for the injustices that are going on the island, and particularly with healthcare. Puerto Rico not just has this very broken system, but you know there is many of the people who are staying on the island are much older people, and so of course the medical issues that go along with that, also obesity, because the of course our frituras and our love of frituras doesn't mm-hmm. help, and beer. But also the fact of the matter is that when you're struggling to get by, the food that you can buy is not the healthiest food. So we have obesity problems, we have diabetes problems, we have all these different health issues that need to be remedied, and to have such a broken system that's not benefiting the Puerto Rican people. Because, you know, for many years, Puerto Rico was one of the largest manufacturers of medicine. That medicine mm-hmm. didn't go back to the island. That medicine went to the States. And this all, you know, it's the colonial makeup of it. Mm-hmm. So it's great that we're getting on the streets. It's great that we are trying to make our voices heard. And I think the Somos Conference is a good thing on the surface, but there needs to be real tangible action, because on December 1st, we completely run out of money. We'll be completely broke. It's not just a matter of debt. It's a matter of no ability to pay services. And mm-hmm. so, you know, meetings and marches are all great, but we need some kind of radical action that makes a difference.
They are talking about, somehow figuring something out to put pressure on the U.S. government, including the mm-hmm. Congress and the President of the United States, to do something, to move on this, and not to just sit on it and let it rot until it dies. The problem
what would be really great is if Puerto Rico did its own Tea Party, but it went out to those ports that the United States is controlling, because that's what's holding up most of our money, and we'll take them back.
The problem with Puerto Rico is that they basically have a two-party system, in essence. It's really a two-party system, just like here, and they blindly follow those parties without really knowing what they're offering. I think both los Partido Populares, los Estadistas, you know, Nuevo Progresista, these people are offering the same crap, basically, you know, mm-hmm. just in a different place.
Bueno, están sacando el mismo dinero del mismo bolsillo.
And it's about time, It's about time, you know, there's 45% poverty rate in Puerto Rico. I mean, that's unheard of. Yeah. That's really black, really bad. And the problem is that now they're facing the impending dissipation of in 2017 of federal black grant. So that is going to screw the Medicaid even further. Mm-hmm. And people are already hurting medically in Puerto Rico. There's a lot of people who are not being taken care of, people who can't afford to go to the doctors, and we're going to get a lot of deaths from this. It's good to see that these elected officials are marching. One of the people that is marching is Jose Rivera, who is an assemblyman from New York, and I applaud him because he's really, truly involved. You know, he's one of those few elected officials that se pone el dinero en la boca, tú sabes, put your money where your mouth is. And so he's the one who mostly will post stuff. He actually posts stuff to my page so that I can see it, because he knows how interested I am in knowing what's going on out there. But supposedly the governor and the elected officials, the state elected officials, are talking about opening up an office in Puerto Rico to help figure out some of these things and to see if there's some sort of commerce. As well as getting some people from New York to go visit Puerto Rico, spend some money out there, and that sort of thing. That's good, but I doubt that's going to be.
What I want to know is, how is this commerce, how is all this investment, how is it actually going to trickle down into the local economy? Because, foreign investment in Latin America has a long history of not benefiting Latin Americans. And so my concern is, okay, you have all these guys, you know, from New York coming down trying to figure out solutions with the people there on the ground. But what would really help is if there was some investment to get local businesses, if there was some investment to embolden the people that are already there to be entrepreneurs and to start up their own programs and their own organizations, so that whatever money is collected actually goes to the local economy as opposed to just possibly going back stateside, which is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to tie this to the, I mean, perhaps maybe a few jobs if we get some people moving, going out there, spending their vacation, you know, spending some money. Perhaps it'll create a few jobs, but I doubt that it'll have the impact needed in order to help the people, those 45% of the people that are living in superbly poor conditions. So, you know, this is just wait and see what happens. At any rate, before we continue, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, something that happened recently. Some folks were driving by the highway right next to the Bronx, they saw a billboard that said, you know, come, you know, we're renting. Come live in the piano district. The piano district, there's no such thing as a piano district in the South Bronx. The area that they're talking about is called Mott Haven. It's probably one of the poorest neighborhoods in the country. But developers are coming in, and they are building now these high-income housing. They're running out of space in Manhattan, so they're moving up, and they're gentrifying the neighborhood very, very quickly. It's scary. And me, as an organizer, as a tenant organizer, I've seen this happen over and over again. It happened in Harlem. It happened in East Harlem. It happened in Brooklyn in the area called Dumbo. And it's happening in many other areas. Now the mayor has a plan to build affordable housing and preserve affordable housing, and he's for example, I live in an area that he targeted to be one of those areas that will be where they'll build affordable housing and they will preserve the affordable housing. The problem is that the average salary here, the average take home, is about $23,000-$25,000 a year, and they're talking about low income housing of $45,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, what they're doing is pushing our people. Other things that they're talking about is we're going to create some 80-20s, and when they say 80-20s, it means 80% high income, 20% low income. Since when the people in their own neighborhoods are the 20%? You know? It's incredible that they are calling that they do this, because they do this often. They're saying that we are 20%, that we should be happy with getting 20% of these buildings. Once that happens, once they stop building, it continues. It never stops, and they'll push us out. What's scary is that these developers threw a party in the Bronx, a ritzy party for high income folks and rich people, where our Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz attended. And what they did is that they had a scene from the 80s of the Bronx and the calamity that was the Bronx back then, with a couple of cars, one on top of the other, that was stripped, and they had gunshots and all that stuff. And this is supposed to be art. But he attended. And not many people have spoken, except Melissa Mark Viverito, who is the Speaker of the City Council of New York. And, you know, she criticized it. You know, these should not be, you know, making fun, in essence, of the plight of the people of the Bronx and the way that the Bronx used to be. Fine, it used to be that way. It hasn't been that way in a long time. At any rate, we also found out that these developers have put over $150,000 into the coffers of the borough president. So this is something that has to be investigated. So, you know, a la gente que se pongan a pensar aquí en el sur de Bronx, que la cosa se está poniendo fea. Denison. We want to be able to get you to your segment, but before we do that, we're gonna play a little music. As soon as we end with this music, so that people can get in that, you know, bailando song, you know, and things of that sort.
Yeah.
Then we will be back with Jonathan Marcantoni. So vamos a tocar un poquito de música viejita para que se la recuerden, gente. Cuando volvemos con Jonathan Marcantoni. No se me vaya de ahí. It took me a long time to figure that one out, but I did. So, cojan esa. So, folks, listen. We are very proud to have Jonathan with us because Jonathan is not only a novelist who has written 3 books, but he's also a college professor and a very busy guy. And the fact that he has taken some time to do this Boricua book of the month is important to us, and we're very happy with that. So, Jonathan, sin más preámbulo, mi hermano, take it away. Do your thing, brother.
Well, thank you very much, Will. And I should say this was Will's idea, but I was more than happy to jump on it because, aside from being an author and an editor and teacher and all that, I'm also just a lover of art. And
wonderful.
One of the things that is so essential to our culture is the art that we produce, because art is a reflection of not only who we are personally, but how we view the world. And the way that Puerto Ricans view the world is very special in this day and age, because it's a sociopolitical mix that is not going on anywhere else in this hemisphere. And that gives us a very distinct, unique, and fascinating perspective on the world. And so I think the Boricua Book Club, you know, we Latinos, yes, we're all about pan-Latinoism and embracing all of our varied cultures, but there is something very special about being a Boricua, and this is all about celebrating our literature. So the Boricua Book Club is going to include both classics and new books. if you email me at John, that's J-O-N, dot M-A-R-C-A-N-T-O-N-I at Gmail, you can email me a PDF of your books if you're a newer author. And I will consider your book as a book of the month in the future. And also classic novels as well. So if there are any books that you, particularly any of our listeners, know of that are favorites of theirs and they want to turn me on to them, please do. Please do. I'm always looking for new books to read, and especially ones from our own culture. So our very first book, La Primera, or El Primero, lo siento. El primero libro para el Boricua Book Club es La Guaracha de Macho Camacho, or Macho Camacho's Beat, as it is known in English. Well, one thing I do want to say with this book club, if a book is available in both languages, I will provide links for both of them. So I want our Hispanohablantes and our Anglohablantes to be able to participate in this, whether you're on the island or off the island. So the reason I chose La Guaracha de Macho Camacho, which is the most popular sales-wise and the most influential Puerto Rican novel of the 20th century. It was written by Luis Rafael Sanchez and published in 1976. It was actually published by an Argentinian press and quickly became a sensation. Luis Rafael Sanchez was best known prior to this book as a playwright, and his background was in both theater and in radio, so very fitting to have his book featured on tonight on a radio show. So La Guaracha de Macho Camacho was actually written as a radio play. Radio plays are not done so much anymore, but the atmosphere and the energy is something that anybody who's ever listened to Spanish radio knows very well. In fact, the chapter headings for the book are announcements from a radio announcer, and I'm going to read very quickly one of those announcements. Y señoras y señores, amigas y amigos, ese hombre se sienta un día y escribe una guaracha que es la madre de las guarachas, sabrosona, dosona, mamazona, y esa guaracha, por ser tan de verdad, se va al cielo de la palma. A los primeros pupitres de la popularidad, al repertorio de Cuánto Combo está en el guiso, a los cuadrantes de Cuánto Combo está en la salsa, y el combo que no está en la salsa no está en nada. And so you can imagine that. And so the chapter headings are all little breaks like that. You know, the sort of nonsensical yet very musical kind of language that you hear on a radio mm-hmm. show in between songs. So the way that he set up the actual book, because the narrative itself is actually revolves around a PNP or Esadista senator named Vicente Reynosa, who is a corrupt, womanizing bastard. It's pretty much set up to where he's stuck in a traffic jam trying to get to his mistress. And then the book jumps over to his mistress, who's taking care of their child, who's mentally disabled. And so she's waiting for him, and as she's waiting for him, she's basically throughout the book, she's kind of going through her mind of whether or not she should stay with him. And then it sort of leaps over to his wife, who is a religious fanatic, and she's a part of a fundamentalist Christian church. And she also goes through an evolution throughout the book Because also, while being very religious, she's also very materialistic. And through the book, she mentally is having to deal with her materialism, which keeps her with her husband, and her religious conviction that her husband is, in fact, a very bad man. And then there is the son of Vicente and his wife, who is a spoiled little monster of a young man who over the course of the book becomes involved in a plot to frame independentistas by bombing one of the buildings at University of Puerto Rico and blaming it on them. So it's a very fascinating book. It's very much independentista literature. It should be said that pretty much all literature that comes out of Puerto Rico is independentista. I've never come across a fictional book in Puerto Rico or a fictional book from the island that was in support of statehood. So I want to read one of these sections that introduces the very particular and peculiar style of this book, and it really highlights our distinct cultural voice, because if the chapter headings are the announcer of a radio station in between commercial breaks or in between songs, then the chapters themselves are the songs. So in calling the book La Guaracha, Guaracha is a form of music that's actually not really played anymore. Like now, it's one of those subgenres of salsa that came out in the 60s and 70s that didn't really continue, kind of like disco. So when you're reading the book, the repetition of it, for those who have never listened to Guaracha, will probably sound really weird and might take some getting used to, because it's very repetitive. But in the original Spanish, it's also hypnotic, and you really get into the rhythm of it, and you really feel absorbed into it, to the point where because what it makes you feel like is, you know, when you're listening to the radio and you really get into the groove of listening to radio for a few hours, and they've been playing hit after hit, and it puts you into a certain mindset that's very festive. And the book does this as well. So that's the reason for the repetition. You know, it's very hypnotic. If you listen to salsa music, salsa and guaracha are close enough that you can get the rhythm. If you listen to salsa, even merengue is somewhat comparable.
Yeah, it's all on clave.
It's all on clave. And so here is a chapter that actually focuses on Vicente, because part of Vicente's character is that whenever his name is used in the book, the campaign slogans that he uses accompanies his name. And over the course of the book, it reveals what a complete and total hypocrite he is. So here we go. El senador Vicente Reynosa, Vicente es decente y buena gente, está atrapado, apresado, agarrado. Dice, llegaré tarde, revise, dice, revise, maldice, y no se arranca algunos pelos, porque algunos pelos tiene habilísimamente dispuestos y fijados con laca naturalidad por la recomendación estilista de un barbero metido a, visto con clara objetividad. El hombre no se va mal, pero tampoco se va bien. Se ve bien. Como que no se ve ni mal ni bien, que es una manera de verse como otra cualquiera. Aunque ustedes, que lo tiene ante ustedes, toda estampa garrida de anuncio de Glostora, toda galanura apreciable de galán que transpone el umbral de Clubman, deciden si se ve bien o si se ve mal, o si no se ve ni bien ni mal. El senador Vicente Reynosa, Vicente es decente y su conciencia es transparente. Está atrapado, apresado, agarrado por un tapón fenomenal como la vida. Made in Puerto Rico. Muestra ágil el tapón de la capacidad criolla para atolladero. Tapón criminal, diríase que modelado por el curato de Julio
Cortázar, la autopista del sur, ricura, ricura, la vida plagionada, plagiando la literatura. El senador Vicente Reynoso, Reynosa, Vicente es decente y la bondad paciente, merienda mozos, merienda trozos suculentos de cutícula, deniega una moción de la bilis para visitar la cavidad bucal, desanuda la corbata que lo guillotina, guillotinado por Oscar de la Renta, colmado hasta el fondo la copa de la desesperación y apurado hasta el chorro último el termo de desconsuelo, recita con mímica proscrita en el Old Vic y altisonancia propia de clamadora municipal y espesa. So, very difficult.
It's very rhythmic.
Incredibly
it seems like
rhythmic.
It's very rhythmic.
It is. It's incredibly rhythmic, and as you can see, because it's so repetitive, and also because there's so much wordplay, it's pretty difficult to get. But for anybody who's ever done radio or performance, as you and I both have, you know that it's something. If you were able to practice it enough, like it would just roll off the tongue, and it's very fast.
Kind of like a commercial, you know, high-pitched commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, and it's, and even though, you know, because it, during that, there were certain references to products, to products like Clubman, which is a product not even around anymore, I don't think. But it's going back and forth between this character going through sort of like this mental stress because he's stuck in a traffic jam and the commercials he's listening to and the BS slogans that he says to himself kind of for his own self-esteem. And it's all mixing. And that's one of the, when you see the text as opposed to listening to it, when you see it, one of the things that's very noticeable is that Sanchez very rarely has paragraph breaks. He instead jumps around from scene to scene, but it's also just these blocks of words. So he has thought and dialogue and this sort of surreal capturing the scenery of what's going on, atmosphere, I should say, that's all combining at the same time. So it's a book that at times does leave you feeling very breathless. But I feel what it really speaks to about our culture is how our culture is constantly just like moving. We're very intense. We're very in-your-face kind of people. We're the kind of people, you know, we do sort of seem like we're all over the place, but there's a certain order to it. You know, there's a lot of chaos in Puerto Rican life, but there's order to it as well, mm-hmm. and or at least attempts to have order. And this book really captures that. It captures that aspect of our spirit. And the stylistic flourishes that he does are ones that, you know, especially for young writers who came up in the United States, would seem really weird. Because in the United States, there's so much formalism to literature. That the complete and total embrace of chaos that Sanchez advocates, it might seem very jarring at first, but if you sort of give yourself over to it, you realize how wonderful it really is. And I think that actually is a good description for our people as well.
You have, will you be adding links to our pages so that folks can actually get to the book? See if they mm-hmm. need to purchase it or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I actually, because on my page, if you go to Boricua Book Club, you'll see the Spanish cover and you'll see the English cover. And if you click on them, it'll actually link to where you can buy those respective versions. I would definitely be posting up the link to that page on Boricuas of the World Facebook and also on my own Facebook and Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm. So folks, if you're interested in this book, and it sounds like quite an interesting book, como medio de un trabalengua casi, you can go to jonathanmarcantoni.com, and that's JonathanMarcantoni, Marcantoni, almost like Marc Antonio, but no, Marc Antoni with an I at the end, .com. Or you can, he's going to post it on our pages, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show and Boricuas of the World Social Club, and you can go there and check it out. I advise you to take a look at his page because perhaps you might be interested in buying some of his books, and I'm sure he has the links to purchase his books as well. So, Jonathan, thank you very much. I appreciate the first book, and hopefully this is the first of a bunch of books. Our motto here is educate first and figure things out later. You know, this is not a perfect show. You know, aquí hablamos inglés, we speak English, hablamos español, we speak Spanish and Spanglish. So you know, we don't have a set of rules. We just want to, you know, put something together to educate and to bring entertainment to our folks. And I think that today we have brought some knowledge to our people, and hopefully they continue every month, not only every month, every week, but at least come back every month and listen to Jonathan's segment, which will be on another book. This time around, he told you he actually posted what the book was. Next time around, you're going to have to figure out by some of the hints that he'll give you. So you'll have to figure that out next time, because we will not give you the name of the book. At any rate, nos tenemos que ir. We have to run. Jonathan, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. We'll talk throughout the week. And folks, los dejamos con Huito Rodríguez, la música de Huito Rodríguez. He's one of the fellas that we interviewed here, a guy from Chicago who has great music. Que la pasen bien y recuerden siempre que para saber dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Hasta la semana que viene. Bye bye.
Tírate aquí conmigo para que tú veas.